Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everyone? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line coming out of... I'm assuming you're still in Ottawa, my man Josh Cohen.
Rolling like the Raptors.
Look at you. Look at what a big win you guys had last night.
I know, that tough Hawks team. I mean, they just keep coming at you.
They're gritty, man. Also on the line, I got my boy Rajan Walia calling in. How you doing?
Not too bad. Peter, how was the game last night?
Yo, it was hype, man. Saw Vince come back to Toronto. I was hoping he would get more playing time, but, you know, it's a shame. I won't lie to you, that the very first shot that he had, you know how he's calling that, or he had that trailing three? Called that as it was happening. It was absolutely beautiful. The stadium just like erupted as soon as he hit it too.
Was there like a certain amount of angst when he put up that last shot at half court that he was actually going to hit it?
Nah. Relax.
He kind of looked a bit like cheese that he didn't make it, though. Like, that look on his face, he's like, oh, man, I had a shot there.
Yo, it went wide, like, 4 feet. Come on. Chill out, Vince.
I wish they gave him the ball on the last possession, too. Like, when they had a chance to tie it instead of Trae Young going to the basket.
Yeah, I agree. Lloyd Pierce doesn't respect Vince, man. He didn't put him on nearly enough. I would have started Vince, if anything, instead of, like, Dwayne Bembry or maybe even Jeremy Lin.
Also, just a quick Raptors note. It was just reported that Jonas Valanciunas is going to miss at least 4 more weeks, unfortunately. So, looks like the rehab is not going as planned as of yet.
I guess you'll be relying on Chris Boucher.
That boy can play, man. He's gonna be a player soon in the NBA.
Can't. He's just long. He's lanky.
Get some meat on those bones. He'll be a rotation player in no time.
All right. Well, let's get started. So on Sunday afternoon, after a 22-point win, the Wolves finally fired head coach and head of basketball operations, Tom Thibodeau. He's gone. It's over. Tibbs' era is done. No more Timberwolves. It's over. So now we have Ryan Saunders in as the interim head coach. He's the son of former coach Flip Saunders. And they've kept their GM. And now we're all wondering, what the hell are the Wolves doing? They just want Fred Hoiberg. How is it that Fred Hoiberg could follow up a Tibbs firing again, twice in a row?
Yeah. I mean, the timing of this is very odd, but from the reporting, it seems like they did this to appease the season ticket holders. Because apparently renewal's coming up, and obviously the crowd was not too kind to him when the Jimmy Butler saga was going on. They actually booed him louder in the introductions than they did, you know, they booed Jimmy Butler. So I think that's the reason why he was fired now, is that they want to ensure that they get the money coming in from the ticket renewals and getting more season seat holders going into next year. And, you know, they're bringing a new flavor in, obviously, with Ryan Saunders not taking over. And it was pretty cool to see them win yesterday, and then the big celebration in the locker room afterwards. That was really cool.
Yeah, I also think, like, with the whole Timberwolves situation, like, the timing was just bad. Like, I think, so with the situation with the Timberwolves and the firing of Tom Thibodeau, I think the timing was just wrong. Like, the Lakers had just lost to them. There was nothing that happened in the past 2 or 3 weeks with the Wolves that was like, oh, he has to be fired. Like, the team was just pretty much kind of slowly falling to the bottom of the standings. They did lose to the teams like the Hawks. So I guess they had good reason, but I also have to ask the question, if you were going to fire Tom Thibodeau or you were considering doing it, did the whole Jimmy Butler situation, could it have that have been avoided if you just fired him in the offseason or when Jimmy Butler had problems with Tom Thibodeau? Maybe fire him then and then try Jimmy Butler with another coach.
No. I think Butler's issues were with Wiggins and Towns more so than Thibodeau. Right? Like, he was salty that they offered Wiggins the massive contract when he thought it should have been his. And that was last season. And then this season, he wanted Kat's contract. Right? Like, he was more just angry that he wasn't getting treated as, like, the number one superstar. Tibbs was just trying to sort of mend the situation by keeping him around and, you know, trying to convince him to stay and that they can be better and all that kind of stuff. But realistically, we all knew that Butler had mentally checked out. And you can see it during the games as well. So I think at that point, it was kind of obvious that Tibbs is going to get fired sooner or later. I just don't know why they waited so long. Like, why wait 2 months or 3 months afterwards?
And wasn't Tom Thibodeau the one kind of responsible to see, like, the trade value for Butler and what was suitable in return?
I think it just goes to show that you can't be both. You can't have those two jobs at the same time unless you're Greg Popovich.
Yeah, but even with Pop, like, he's not formally the head of basketball ops or anything, right? Like, he obviously gets final say, and we know how big he is in the organization, but, like, on paper, he doesn't have that role.
True, and he was that for a while, I think, in the early 2000s, and then I think he just saw there was way too much responsibility. I mean, you have to game plan as a coach, obviously, for the next team that's coming up, and then, you know, as a trade deadline comes around, you also have to play the role of trying to figure out what your team needs, and then you have to play the coach and essentially the, you know, the GM role almost, where you have to look at players from both perspectives, and then one may not coincide with the other. I mean, you might like a player a lot and what he does on the court, but you might have a conflict of interest there where you have to trade this guy to improve your team. And, you know, it's just not a good situation to have one guy in both roles just because of the workload too. I mean, look at Doc Rivers. He couldn't handle both either. And he's a pretty good coach, but in terms of being a, you know, head of basketball operations, he just couldn't cut it. So I think it's just time to separate those two roles. And I don't really think a team is going to do that again in the near future.
But do you guys think that, like, Tom Thibodeau is really responsible for the Timberwolves shortcomings? Like, I know that obviously the coach has a big role in deciding who plays minutes, but I think a lot of the players have to take responsibility for kind of how poorly they've played this season. Like, on paper, they seem like one of the more deep, well-rounded teams in the West, and they should be pushing for a playoff spot, not losing to Phoenix, Atlanta, losing to New Orleans. Like, I think the players are just as responsible as Tom, but I guess at the end of the day, like, you're going to fire the coach. You can't really fire these players that you gave, what, two max contracts to in the past year. So, I don't know. I feel like he wasn't solely responsible for the team doing this poorly.
He wasn't solely responsible. At the same time, he's a big part of it because he just never developed his bench up until this year where Derrick Rose sort of broke out. But a guy like Taz Jones is only playing 12 minutes a game, if that, in a situation where they needed a backup point guard last year, and he barely even played behind Teague. And they have some good pieces off the bench. I mean, they got Šarić, they got Tolliver. Okogie's played really well this year when he has played, which has been rare. So they have some guys. It just, he's too obsessed with playing his starters 35-plus minutes a game, and that's been an issue with him for the longest time. I mean, he almost killed Luol Deng, literally. Joakim Noah, you know, hasn't been able to play past 31, and he was an MVP candidate. And obviously Derrick Rose has had, like, multiple knee injuries. So you get near Thibodeau, you better, you know, book your hotel room, or not hotel room, hospital bed, sorry. Wow. Hotel room afterwards.
Jesus. What do you think of Ryan Saunders? He's only 32 years old, eh? Like, he's barely older than we are, and he's coaching.
From what I've read, too, like, everyone loves Ryan Saunders. All the players went to his wedding, I think, a year ago. And obviously, with yesterday's celebration in the locker room after, it seems like everyone's behind him, so maybe he becomes the team's next head coach and follows in his father's footsteps.
Yeah, the way that they played yesterday against OKC, especially Wiggins, like, if he could play like that, not even consistency, like, one in every, like, four games, like, they're a completely different team than what they played like under Tom Thibodeau. So they celebrated that win with him. They've actually played very tough. Like, I know people have a huge knock, myself included, on Wiggins. Just, like, he seems like he has no grit. And yesterday he showed a lot of character, and he had, like, an amazing game, probably one of his best games of his career.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone was expecting a 40-point game. 18 free throws or something like that?
Yeah, and he had a rebound over Paul George and Jeremy Grant, like, in the later half. I think, like, the second last play of the game. And he was just attacking Paul George, who's one of the best defensive players. We talked about this last week. He was attacking him, even if he got a switch on, and he wasn't missing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the Timberwolves, the other reason why they struggle so much game to game is because your best players are still really young, even though Cat and Wiggins are around 23, 24 right now, so they're younger type of veterans. But at the same time, you know, game to game, I'm not really sure what to expect out of Wiggins, period. And then with Cat, you know, it's on the defensive end, he's on and off. Like, sometimes he looks really good, and then the stretch, he's played really well. But he did this last year, too, in January. He had a really good defensive month, and then after that, he just completely fell off. So, you know, maintaining that is going to be something they have to work on. Maybe a conditioning issue for him. Who knows?
Do you think this Wolves team, like, as it currently is constructed, can win in the NBA, or do they actually have to make a move or trade a key piece like Wiggins? Or I don't think they're going to ever trade Cat in the near future, but do you think they're equipped to win no matter who's coaching?
Not as currently constructed, but they have a long way to go because they have to decide what they're going to do with Derrick Rose after the year two. I think he's only a one-year contract and a very low number. And he's obviously broken out this year, shooting absolutely ridiculous numbers, which nobody expected. But I think their core is okay, as long as Wiggins actually shows up. But, you know, with his contract, he has to show up every single night, or they're not going to be able to win games. And right now, they're in not quite the lower part of the lottery, so you can't really improve there either. They haven't really ever, you know, fully embraced tanking to where they were, you know, a bottom three type of lottery team. This might be the year. I mean, Covington's going to be out for another month, I think, and he's probably their second, maybe third most important player. So I think at this point, you know, just let Cat do his thing, run Wiggins out there and hope that he actually improves his game and start playing the rookies more and the younger players.
He promised that he would be a better player and that he would try more. I think that's, you know, all
Wiggins?
You need. Yeah, Wiggins. He promised Tim Taylor, yet. Man. That's all you need. It's just a, you know, it's just your word. Word is bond.
Andrew Wiggins, a.k.a. Broken Promises. It's yeah, a Canadian. It's because he's Canadian.
What do you mean?
I wouldn't say that. Like, I think he has the same attitude as, like, a Brandon Ingram. I took offense.
Too nice on the court.
Oh, man, Raja really, really hurt there. Holy.
I think, if anything, the player that really has kind of given Canadians a bad knock is Anthony Bennett, who was probably one of the softest players in the NBA,
given his size. Hold on. I'm not going to give you that. He should not have been drafted even close to number one. He was barely a lottery pick.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, he showed nothing. Like, he showed, like, not even a first-round pick quality.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have been even close to, like, he should not have been in the lottery, is what I'm saying. And then as soon as that happens, you have all this pressure put on you. From not just, like, local media, but, like, international media is on you at this point. This guy's nowhere even close to that good. Why was he even given that opportunity?
But Speaking of disappointing talents, we should move on to the Lakers, I think.
Oh, the Lakers. Who do you think is disappointing on the Lakers? Be real.
Lonzo. Even though I actually really like Lonzo's game, but at the same time, he's shooting under 50% from the free throw line. And just like Wiggins, he's really inconsistent game to game with his offense. His defense has been there pretty much the entire season. But offensively, some games he goes like 4 for 6 from three, runs the break, just pushing the ball up the court, you know, getting the Lakers into their up-tempo offense. And then other games like against the Wolves, and I think OKC had 0 points. So you just can't have that, especially when LeBron's out. Like, you need to be able to step up as a point guard that's playing 35 minutes a game.
But I think the thing with Lonzo, though, is, like, his body language. It, like, compared to a lot of other players in his draft class, like, he doesn't show that same type of aggression that other players do. And at this point, like, I think it's safe to say that Fox is going to be a better player in the NBA than Ball was.
Like, I don't know if that's necessarily true yet.
But it's looking that way based on current trends.
Yeah, right now, easily.
And Fox looks like he wants to ball. Like, he looks like every day he's on the court, he wants to play. Like, he's aggressive. Like, he's going to maybe shoot the ball too much at times and make rookie mistakes, but at least he's showing the aggression of taking that leadership role. He's, like, pretty much one of the key players of Sacramento. And kind of on the flip side, Ball's kind of taken a back seat. And obviously when you have LeBron there, you're never going to be the main guy, but he really doesn't look like he wants to take any responsibility for that team now that LeBron's out.
I think that's a good point, because I think both of them are somewhat alike in that they're supposed to be up-tempo point guards, but the difference is that De'Aaron Fox brings it every single night. He pushes the ball consistently every single game, and that's why Sacramento's been so good and so fun to watch and been pretty much the fastest team in the NBA pace-wise all year. Whereas Lonzo, some games it just looks like he's just floating out there, and he walks the ball up the court, and that hurts the Lakers' offense because they can't shoot from the perimeter. So if they're not pushing the ball like they did against, you know, Dallas last game, they're going to see more games like against the OKC and Minnesota where they just struggle.
I don't want to like just shit on Lonzo though. Part of this is due to the team's roster and the coaching as well, right? Like if your whole team structure is to just give LeBron the ball every time, it's kind of weird for you to not have LeBron on the court, and then you don't really know what to do because you're out of flow, you're out of like sync with your own game.
Yeah, at the same time, though, when LeBron's out, like, somebody has to step up. And Kuzma's done a pretty good job of that before he got injured the last couple games. But Ingram played well last game, but he's been really consistent, too. And he just totally abandoned shooting threes as well the last few games. So that's going to be a big key going into the playoffs. If he doesn't shoot threes when LeBron has the ball as often as he's going to, then you got a big issue there. And you might just have to play a guy like, you know, KCP or Josh Hart over him and just play a more shooting-centric lineup.
Is Rondo still hurt?
Yeah, he re-aggravated the hand injury, so I think it's another, if I'm not wrong, another 2 to 4 weeks.
That's tough.
Yeah, which is why Lonzo's playing 35-plus minutes a game, if he doesn't play well, they just have no chance of winning.
Do you think that
Brandon Ingram, or I know we're going to go back here, but Brandon Ingram or Andrew Wiggins, like for me, they look like they have like the same attitude as a player and kind of the same, I would say, flaws in their game. I know Ingram has entered the league, and he probably has a bit more upside than Wiggins, given Wiggins really hasn't turned it up, and now it's his fifth year in the NBA. But they kind of remind me of the same player, and I know Lonzo's getting a lot of criticism, but I think Ingram is the guy that they really expected to take a like secondary role with LeBron in that team, and I know you can't blame single players, like as you mentioned, Peter, but I think at the end of the day, the players are most responsible for this because they're really just inconsistent. Like when LeBron's there, they play well. But when he's not, some of them are like, I don't feel like playing today, or I'm just going to take a few shots, or just kind of like not have a real game plan. But it's just really hard to just blame Lonzo and Ingram. But then again, those are the players that have like the worst body language.
Yeah, and I think the difference between Ingram and Wiggins is Ingram's actually shown some productivity and improvement overall in the last two seasons. Like, his ball handling's got a lot better, I think. And his passing's pretty good, too. And he can finish around the bucket, and he does so consistently. But Wiggins hasn't really shown any improvement in any part of his game. Like, he's definitely the more talented player. And I think he's one of the most talented players in the NBA right now, to be honest. With his skill set and his athleticism as a combination, he just doesn't bring it at all. Whereas Ingram's more so, I don't know, he can't really shoot beyond 18 feet, or he just chooses not to. And I think that slows down the Lakers' offense when they actually have to play half court against these teams.
Yeah, one of the things with Ingram, too, is that like during the summer, we all expected him and LeBron to just work perfectly. You know what I mean? Those were the expectations. Like you said,
I didn't.
Raj. Really?
I thought Kuzma's a way better fit because Kuzma can take spot up shots, but Ingram is more so a talented ball handler and a guy who needs to be a lead guy. And I don't really think that fits with LeBron unless you're like Kyrie Irving. You can sort of do both where you can just spot up or take people off the dribble.
That's true. Oh, hot take. Kyle Kuzma more important than LeBron James is to the Lakers. How about that?
Wait, what did we just play that?
What? I think that's a bit of a stretch, a bit too big of a stretch for stretch.
I don't know, man. As soon as Kuzma went down, they lost like two straight, comes back and they win.
He's definitely more important than Ingram, though. I think he's the second most important player.
A big part of me just thinks that like the Lakers are playing Ingram to a point where like he can maximize his trade value, and then they're going to try to get a piece. That's what I think is what they're hoping for.
Yeah, they're hoping just to, like, deal at least two of these three guys in a package for Anthony Davis at some point either this year or next year. But I really hope that doesn't happen, so they have to stick with these guys and LeBron just gets frustrated and it becomes a whole thing in L.A. and they just self-combust. That'd be great.
Yeah, I would love to see them not do anything over the next few years. It'd be great if they didn't make the playoffs this year.
It's a possibility. I mean, the West is tough this year, and if LeBron doesn't come back the next couple of weeks, it's only going to get tougher.
Yo, how injured do we think LeBron actually is?
I think it's a legit injury because he hasn't really sat out with a, you know, it's a hamstring, right? Or is it a quad?
A groin. It's a groin.
Groin? Okay, yeah. I mean, you don't mess up with those types of injuries, obviously. I mean, the last couple big players that have been out with that type of injury have been out for a month because you just don't want to come back too early and then potentially tear something or overcompensate on one side and tear something more severe. So, I mean, right now they're 22-19. The Jazz have, I think, the easiest schedule in the NBA coming up. Sacramento's play really well. They're in 10th place. Minnesota's still 20-21, surprisingly. And New Orleans hasn't been healthy all year, and they're 19-22. And eventually Mirotić is going to come back and bring some stability to that team and, you know, create more depth with Randle coming off the bench. So the Lakers need LeBron back as soon as possible, or else the bottom could fall out potentially.
Nah, they just need the Kuzma back, and he's back.
Kyle Kuzma, MVP candidate.
I'm riding this train, man. Kuz, more important than LeBron. At least he's a secondary scorer, unlike anyone else on that team.
Yeah.
I like Josh Hart, though. Josh Hart has played well in this stretch.
Josh Hart makes a lot of dumb mistakes, though. Like he makes,
but
a
he
lot
tries
of
really hard every game.
Oh, thank you. Like, I love effort when I'm playing an NBA game. That's all I need to win. Get out of here.
I mean, that's all we've talked about so far on this podcast, how, you know, Ingram and Wiggins haven't really brought it every game. Then you got a player like Josh Hart that guards the other team's best player every game and rebounds the hell out of the ball and tries really hard on defense. So.
And turns it over the very next possession down the floor or airballs a three. Like, he's good. Don't get me wrong. He's good. But I wouldn't say he's someone that I want to rely on. He'd be a great, like, fourth option, fifth option.
That's what he is. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, he's not, because the way you're touting him is that he should be, like, the third option.
No. I'm not talking about LeBron. Offensively, I'm just talking about him as a fit, you know? I think he's a great fit with LeBron, too, because he's a spot-up shooter, too.
Yeah, but I guess. But like, lots of guys can be great fits with LeBron if they're just spot-up shooters. You know, like, DJ Augustine would be amazing with LeBron because he can just stand there and shoot. Of course.
I just think that you're underestimating, you know, these guys' impact on the game. Because most players aren't comfortable just standing in the corner, standing on the wing and shooting jumpers. But you need those types of players around superstars. And as we've seen, guys like Ingram and Ball haven't really been able to adjust to it. And they haven't played their best with LeBron on the floor. So they're going to have to either make a decision with those guys or ride it out and hope that it eventually works in the second half of the year, which it probably won't.
Ugh. Just got LeBron you need, and role players.
You need Lonzo Ball's skill and Josh Hart's heart to make a complete player.
To make a super player.
Yeah. But so right now, if LeBron comes back, do you think that they make the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, they're still top 10 in defense, which is sort of the most surprising thing of the start of this year with them anyway. And plus, they have LeBron. So they're going to make the playoffs. I just hope that they get the seventh seed or whichever seed that lines up with Golden State, because I want to see that matchup in the first round.
Why? I want to see them go against Denver so Denver can just run them off the floor.
I don't know if they would, though.
They totally would.
I hope that would happen, but they still have the best player in the series with LeBron, so I'm not 100% sure that they'd be able to take down the Lakers with LeBron back at 100% health. But
is he the
against
best player?
Golden State,
or is future MVP Nikola Jokic the best player?
Oh, that's another hot take, eh?
You like that spin, eh?
Scorching.
Ooh, baby. All right, I want to do something a little different. We have the trade deadline coming up in about a month or so. And we've obviously talked about, you know, the Lakers need like more role players. We always talk about the Raptors needing another shooter off the bench. There are a lot of teams that could use that little bit of adjustment, a little bit of a tweak to the roster to put them over the edge against, you know, maybe it's just getting into the playoffs or differentiating themselves from the rest of the competition at the top of the conference. So I'm going to give you a couple of teams out of each conference, and I want to know what you guys think that they need. And I want to start with, I'll throw you an easy one. Let's say the 76ers first. What are they hunting for during the deadline, Josh?
Depth. Because their bench, they're relying on Furkan Korkmaz, the second-year player, and Landry Shamet, who's a rookie. And TJ McConnell's played well this year, but they just need another guy or maybe two, maybe Wilson Chandler coming back. Maybe he'll be a guy that can provide some shooting around the big three, obviously. But they need sort of like what they needed last year. They just need one or two more guys to provide more spacing off the bench. And the problem is, though, they don't really have a lot to give up that they're willing to give up in their, you know, in their main seven, I guess you could say. So they're going to have to figure some things out, because you can't really have Mike Muscala and Landry Shamet as your, you know,
oh my God,
as your guys at the two and the four off the bench. So they need to find a Bellinelli. They need to find an Ilyasova, yeah, whether that's in the buyout market or in the trade market.
Muscala is one of the most frustrating players to watch play.
Like, he was... I also don't like how he has the same nickname as Greg Monroe.
Moose.
I'm not a fan of that.
It makes more sense for Muscala, though.
Yeah.
Like, why is Monroe Moose? I don't understand. Also, when did you become a Greg Monroe fan?
I never said that I was a Greg Monroe fan, but, you know, he has played well as a third. I can't complain.
So why do you care if they have the same name?
I just don't like guys having the same nickname in basketball. It just, where's the creativity?
How about Moose Jr.?
Senior Moose.
Mini Moose.
Mike Muscala Moose Senior.
I guess we can call Monroe the Canadian Goose now.
Why? What? But he doesn't fly.
forget the Moose. Call him a Goose.
Oh my God.
No one.
Canadian Looney. Greg Monroe.
There you go.
Yeah, you've absolutely lost it. This Raptors fandom has gone to another level, giving out fake nicknames. What would you call Chris Boucher?
Big Booch.
Big Booch. That's pretty good, actually. Well done, my friend. Well done. Okay, Raj, I'm going to throw one out to you. Let's say the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, they need a fire sale. Right now, they probably are going to look to see what they can get for Bradley Beal. I think that they're in a situation now with John Wall's contract that there was, I think, reported that there's no team interested in John Wall based on his injury history and his contract situation. The big piece that they have to sell that could probably bring them good young depth or some draft picks would be Bradley Beal. I think he's proven that he's a great player. He's probably exactly the type of player that the Lakers need, but I don't think they're going to get him because they're looking to get one of the big fish in the market. But I think a Bradley Beal could be useful to like a number of teams that are looking for scoring a shooting guard. But I think what they need to look for in return is like one or two young pieces, maybe a three-way deal with like maybe like the Pelicans or something, where they can get the Pelicans can give Anthony Davis the Lakers pieces, mainly Anthony Davis. The Lakers can give Lonzo and whatnot to the Pelicans. The Pelicans will give draft picks to, yeah, I don't know what I'm saying here.
That was pretty impressive rambling.
Yeah, it was. No,
you basically started really well, and then you started going down that three-team trade and sort of just, like, mixed everything up.
What I really want to say is Bradley Beal goes to the Pelicans. Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers, and the Lakers send all these picks to both Washington and New Orleans, and then the players will go to Washington, New Orleans each.
Interesting. Good idea. At least we can get Anthony Davis movement in that scenario as well.
Yeah, and I think the New Orleans doesn't want to tank completely, and they want to have a few pieces. And I think Bradley Beal's a piece you can work with going forward.
Yeah. I also want to throw out there that I think the Wizards could just use a new GM. Let's get Ernie Grunfeld out of there.
So could New Orleans.
True. Who's in New Orleans?
GM swap.
Do you remember?
Dell Demps.
Dell Demps, yeah. Yeah, let's get rid of both of them. Trade them both for second round draft picks. Because that's all you can do.
Or how about we do a GM swap?
Yeah, but then they'd just be equally as crappy for each other's teams.
I know, but it'd be pretty fucking entertaining.
Ernie Grunfeld's going to be in New Orleans for the next like 30 years after that. Let's go with, I don't know, there's two teams in the East that we can pick from. Both are borderline playoff teams. Do you want to do Charlotte or Detroit, Josh?
Either or, but well, I guess I'll start with Charlotte. They just, in my opinion, it's time to just bottom out. Kemba Walker's on the last year of his deal. Try to get what you can for him, because if you re-sign him at the number that he's looking at right now, if he makes an all-NBA team, I think he's going to make upwards of around $200 million in his next contract. And if you get him on that contract, you already have a bunch of guys that are locked down on long-term deals on that team with, like, Bismack Biyombo, Nicholas Batum, I think has 2 years left. They just have a bunch of guys that don't provide the value that their contracts, you know, basically state that they should, right? So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's time to just blow that team up and try to get what you can for Kemba while you can and not try to build around him, because it's their fault that they haven't built a quality team around him. I mean, he could be a number 1A, second option type of guy in a pretty good playoff team, but who's their second best player right now? Jeremy Lamb? Like, oh, come on.
God.
I don't think you can re-sign a guy like Kemba Walker, who's like a top 25-ish type of player right now, and just not surround him with any talent and just hope that the fans keep coming out to see the same team every year.
You know what? The second best player on that roster might actually be Michael Jordan.
He's beating those kids in practice, so, you know, yeah. Maybe.
That's a rough team, man. I completely agree. There's either I would get rid of Kemba, just do what I can, or literally just sell whatever you can with these other guys. You got Zeller, Batum, Marvin Williams. All these guys make more than Kemba does. So just try to get rid of anyone you can and just, you know, cut your losses at this point.
I think if you go in the opposite direction, though, and you try to trade some of these bad contracts, you're going to have to attach draft picks to them. So at that point, you're getting rid of your draft picks, re-signing Kemba, and you basically still have the exact same situation, but now you're without the draft picks. So I would not go that way if I was them, but they've been doing that the last few years and trading guys or signing a guy like Bismack Biyombo for 4 or 5 years for absolutely no reason.
No, that wasn't them. Wasn't that Orlando?
Or trading
for Orlando.
Him,
so.
Yeah, they traded for him. Sorry. That's right.
But they signed Miles Plumlee. I think they were the team that signed Miles Plumlee to that massive deal. He got traded for Bismack, so it's the same idea.
That's right. They're basically the same player, equally as crappy. Also, shouts to Bismack. One good playoff series, and he just raked it in right after that year. Good for him. Also, bad
work
by
Orlando. What a weird deal, though. They signed him when they had Vucevic. Like, what was that?
And it was the same center that they got Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, they had a massive... They spent like 70% of their salary cap on their front court.
On three bigs.
Maybe they thought Bismack could play point guard.
Maybe they thought it was like still 1998 and they wanted like a triple big lineup.
Yeah, like the New York Knicks back in the day with Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley and Ewing.
Exactly. So in this scenario, I'm assuming Patrick Ewing is Serge Ibaka.
No, Patrick Ewing is Bismack, come on.
Oh my god. The disrespect, man. Alright, Raj, what do you think the Pistons need? I just need to hear a little bit of hope for my team.
You know what? I'm actually going to go back to what I said about Washington. Like, they actually need a shooting guard that can shoot and not like four players that hopefully one shows up like Reggie Bullock or Reggie Jackson. They could use a player like Bradley Beal. The only problem is they don't really have any good assets to give the other way. But I think they just need consistent perimeter shooting because they have Drummond and Blake and they have some other pieces that Dwayne Casey can work with, but if they had a player like Bradley Beal, then I think they become instantly a playoff team, probably the fourth or the fifth best team in the East.
Sixth.
And I think they're just as good as Indiana.
No way. No way. I disagree with that.
If they get Bradley Beal,
how are they going to get him? They can't get to trade Andre Drummond at that point, right? Then your team's entirely different.
Yeah, but that's the issue. They just have nothing to trade for him. But they need perimeter scoring, and ideally they could get a player like Bradley Beal, but they have no assets to give up. I guess you're looking for perimeter scoring, but you're hoping to keep the two main players, Griffin and Drummond. So that's the challenge.
You know, because they're still trying to make the playoffs so badly, I think that they should look into trying to acquire Derrick Rose. I think they should be looking at maybe... It's their first year with the new arena, right? So they're really trying hard to make the playoffs like they have been the last 2 years. So, you know, maybe attach a draft pick to Reggie Jackson because I think he's an inspiring deal. Give him a first-round pick and try to make the playoffs with D-Rose, Blake Griffin, and Andre Drummond.
Ooh, I like that.
That is much better than what I had to say.
No, that's a great idea. Rose is hype this year. He's shooting like 45% from the line, from the three. He's killing it.
And that will definitely sell them seats in their new arena.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Detroit fans aren't sensitive, so if he says to kill yourself, they'll just be like, okay, cool. Screw yourself too, Derek. That's a great idea. Let's make it happen.
Peter's all over this.
I just want Reggie Jackson off the team. I can't stand watching that guy, man. He's like, some days he's so good, and then other days he's sort of like Wiggins. Some days he's really good, he's like locked in, and then other days he doesn't care.
He's not even a top 30 point guard anymore.
Oh, not even close.
Really?
I would take Ish Smith over him.
Would too, but there are other teams with worst point guards.
DJ Augustine or Reggie Jackson? DJ Augustine.
True. How about Colin Sexton or Reggie Jackson?
Colin Sexton. I don't even like Sexton, but I would take him at this point over Reggie Jackson.
Oh my God, relax.
At least Sexton gets in the lane every once in a while.
Relax.
Well, the upside of Sexton.
If you say that DJ Augustine is a better player right now than Reggie Jackson, then Reggie Jackson is not a top 30 point guard. Because there's some backup point guards that are better than DJ Augustine. Look at Derrick Rose. There you go. Right there.
Yeah, but I would say Derrick Rose is better than Colin Sexton, too. Right? Like,
I think we can easily go through the list and name 30 point guards better than Reggie Jackson. Like, Fred VanVleet or Reggie Jackson. Fred VanVleet, right?
Yeah.
True.
Thomas Satoransky or Reggie Jackson? Thomas Satoransky.
I don't know about that. Let's relax.
He's been solid.
Yeah, fine. But not really.
Terry Rozier.
Yeah, scary Terry for sure.
Spencer Dinwiddie. I can keep going, man.
But that's because he's their starting point guard. Or he's their best point guard.
Yeah, but
Russell's been good this year.
I wouldn't call D'Angelo Russell a point guard, man. He's an off guard.
Well, so is Jackson then.
Yeah. Jackson's been playing a lot of shooting guard.
True. Jose Calderon or Reggie Jackson?
I mean, you go through the year, you actually see Calderon playing like 24 minutes a game in some of these games because Casey just hates Jackson so much.
With reason. I completely agree. But, man, that's...
You know, going through the list right now, I think he's not even a top 40 point guard.
Yo, chill out.
TJ McConnell or Reggie Jackson?
Relax.
George Hill or Reggie Jackson?
Okay, man, this is ridiculous now.
You're gonna name Monte like Morris or Reggie Jackson?
It's going to be like DeAndre Ayton from Phoenix or Reggie Jackson. Come on. Chill out.
Sean Livingston or Reggie Jackson?
Okay, that's not even fair. We already know the answer to that.
I like how you mix Ayton and Melton's names together.
Wait, what's his name?
You said DeAndre Ayton.
I did say that, yeah. What's his actual name? What's his actual name?
DeAndre Ayton and what's Melton's name? I don't even know what his first name is.
His name is Melton?
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I'm looking. Melton. D'Anthony Melton.
There you go.
Or Eli Okobo.
Eli Okobo over Reggie Jackson all day.
Yeah, chill out. All right, let's go to the West with our little game here. Josh, why don't you talk to me about your beloved San Antonio Spurs?
Do we have to?
Yeah. This is the game. I gave you the team. You didn't want to pick teams before, so this is what you get.
I hate the Spurs so much.
What does San Antonio need, aside from DeMar DeRozan saving their lives?
Well, I think they need point guard help, first of all. But at the same time, do you really want to be training for a point guard when, you know, your future point guard is coming back next season or possibly the end of this year? I think there's been reports that have said that Murray might come back at the end of the year. So right now,
that'd be insane.
They're in sixth place in the West, surprisingly. They've been on this massive tear. But, you know, I mean, they've had guys that have filled in okay. Brent Forbes has been pretty good the entire year with his three-point shooting, and Derek White has been surprisingly good the last 10, 12 games, he's been really solid at the starting shooting guard position. So I don't know. I mean, I would just stand pat if I was at this point, to be honest, because there's not much they can really trade and, you know, get back in terms of value when you have Murray coming back as is. So, and you can't really trade a guy like Pau Gasol, obviously, who's on like a 2-year contract at a massive number. So I think they're pretty much stuck with their situation right now. I think they're over the cap as well. So it's going to be really hard for them to find a trade that works, that where they can match salary on both sides.
Yeah, and they're not exactly a team to give up draft picks either, right? Like, they really pride themselves on finding guys in the second round, like a lot of random guys, such as Davis Bertans, who's actually like a valuable contributor to the team, essentially.
Yeah, and I think the only way they can really improve is if they decided to trade Rudy Gay, who's played really well this year, but I don't really think that's an option, because what are you going to get back that's better than what he's provided to you this year? I don't really think that's a possibility.
Yeah, and he's not even on a big contract. He's on like a 1 year, I think around $10 million. So it's not bad at all.
And when you talk about guys that have come back from Achilles injuries, I mean, he's been amazing this year.
Yeah. What if they got Carmelo Anthony?
Oh, God. Do you want me to hate them even more?
Can Pop,
what are we doing here?
Can Pop recover his career at this point?
Maybe they can trade for Reggie Jackson, too.
Oh, my God. They would actually be the worst defensive team in the league at that point. All right, Raj, talk to me about the Clippers.
You know what? The Clippers actually have what, like, I think a lot of teams are looking for, as in they have, like, a lot of players that are good trade pieces, as in they have players that can play multiple positions. I think they have what a lot of teams want, as in they have a lot of young pieces, players that are still quite like malleable, and they can play multiple positions, and they're a team that competes mainly to make up for their lack of star power. But I think right now as a team, they probably just need a little better outside scoring, in terms of just a better shooter. But I think overall their team, based on what it's at right now, isn't looking to trade many of its current pieces. Maybe they're looking to acquire a perimeter shooting, but that's all I can see from like an outsider's perspective. I haven't seen too many Clippers games, but I think they're doing better than they've expected, and I think if they continue playing the way they do, they're probably going to squeeze into the playoffs as a lower seed. And for their current roster, that's a pretty good achievement. So I think they're overachieving, and I don't think you change much when you're overachieving.
I think for a team that's looking to acquire a big star in the offseason like Kawhi or Kevin Durant, I think that at this point, if the Philadelphia situation continues to escalate with Butler, you know, being who Butler is and trying to be the number one guy on that team and not really working out Brett Brown, I think you need to look at possibly just trading for him and trading some of your younger pieces for him and starting to build around him and trying to get that second piece in the offseason to go along with him instead of just trying to sign two guys where one guy may not come up, the other doesn't, and then you got a really bad situation, ran up with nothing. So I think, you know, the Paul George situation last year, I think it's shown that sometimes you just have to make the trade for the guy until you have his bird rights, and now he can control him in case it doesn't work out. But, you know, it doesn't work out. But I think you get that number one star first, and then you try to build around him with a second star. You don't try to get two guys in the offseason, because when does that really happen besides with Miami with LeBron and Wade and Bosch?
Wow.
But couldn't you argue that if you added Kawhi to this current team, that they would be one of the best teams in the West?
I think that Kawhi is only going to go there in a situation where you already have Butler. He's not waiting to see if you get a second star, right? I think you're in a better situation if you already have Butler in the team and Kawhi sees that there's a second star that he can play with versus Kawhi sitting there and then hoping that another star comes, or if Kawhi is waiting for the second star to sign first. I think you just have a better situation if you already have a star there.
But do you think that if you added Kawhi to this current lineup, that this team wouldn't be one of the best teams in the West? And remember, the West is much deeper than the East, and I think Kawhi is always going to have that preference to play in California and specifically LA.
If the younger players develop, but I think if you sign Kawhi, then you're also going to lose out probably on Tobias Harris, and you're probably going to have to trade Gallinari too. So they may not have as much depth as you would think, but I think that the current Toronto Raptors roster is in a way better situation this year versus like the LA Clippers roster next year if they only get Kawhi and they surround him with the same types of players minus Tobias Harris. Because Tobias Harris is going to, you know, demand a massive deal.
Yeah, he wants to.
And I guess if they strike out, they can always. Yeah, I mean, if they strike on everyone else, they can always sign him and he can be the second guy with Kawhi. But I don't think that team is better than the current Raptors with Lowry, Siakam, Danny Green, all those types of players.
Of course you don't. It's the Raptors.
And plus they're in the East too, so it's a lot easier to get through the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just colder.
I just think the issue is with the Clippers is if they try to trade some of their pieces now to get Jimmy Butler and they drop in the standings, there's going to be a lot of fan backlash. And I think that also raises a bit of
Clippers
doubt
have
for...
fans?
They will when they get Kawhi. All the
yeah, that's not
LeBron fans. But yeah, like I think that they're in a situation where like, if you kind of blow up or like you make a big move and it doesn't work out for you in the short term, you might even scare off a player like Kawhi who might not want to play for a team that acquired Butler, now was maybe like the 10th seed in the West. Whereas and if you have this current team and you look and you lose some of these pieces, like you have a fresh start with Kawhi coming in.
Yeah, I can't really see them going after Butler, but I also don't see Kawhi going there in the summer either. At this point, I think you're right, Raj. I think you sort of just sit still and just let this ride as long as you can. When you're overachieving this hard, like you just ride the heat wave. I would personally try to find a big who so Gortat doesn't have to play like 10 minutes a game because I don't like his lack of mobility anymore. I don't think he's a very good defender anymore. So that's what I would do, but otherwise I can't really see much else that you would do with this current roster. Josh, why don't you talk to me about your... we talked about the Kings enough. Let's talk about the Jazz. Rubio is out for at least 2 weeks, so primary ball handler is going back to being Donovan Mitchell. Obviously, Rudy Gobert is still there, and Gobert and Favors aren't really getting along as well as we thought they would this year.
I think their biggest weakness is just finding another ball handler with Donovan Mitchell, because Ingles hasn't really played as well as he has last year. And obviously Rubio is just up and down like he has been his entire career with the shooting. So I think you just need a consistent type of point guard that they can pair with Mitchell and a guy that can take the pressure off him from taking 24, 25 shots a game, which he has been in this recent stretch. So I'd be looking at this might be another team that looks at a guy like Derrick Rose or another type of point guard like that. Even like, just getting like a Tyus Jones type of player that can just handle the ball a little bit and run
so
a pick and roll.
He'd be amazing on this team because he can actually shoot unlike Exum.
Yeah, exactly. You just need another guy that can just make a few plays off the dribble and be a consistent threat from the three-point line. A guy that can provide spacing because when you play the two bigs and Favors and Gobert, you need another guy out there that can really knock down the three.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think all they really need is like a guard at this point, just to handle the rock, alleviate some of the pressure. Because
even a guy like Jeremy Lin. I mean, he's going to be available in the trade deadline. So.
Oh, man, he'd be great on this team. He's also a big churchy, so I think that would do well.
Jeremy Lin, newfound Mormon.
Yeah. I'm sure they love Chinese people in Utah.
Or, I mean, if... Another guy you have to look at, I think, is D'Angelo Russell. I mean, a guy that may not get re-signed in Brooklyn, whose contract is going to be up at the end of the year. He could be a nice fit next to Mitchell, too.
Yeah, how do you feel about D'Angelo Russell? I'm still not over him snitching on Nick Young, like, 2 years ago.
I think you have to be at this point, though, because he's made really big improvements in his game this year. He's been pretty consistent the entire season.
Yeah, he's been killing it offensively. Defensively, he's still about the same player. Like, he's a mediocre defender.
He's improved, though. He's actually trying harder this year.
You think so?
In the games I've watched, like, he's actually trying to get around picks now, and guys aren't just torching him every game. Like, you're not seeing whoever's a point guard for the team just going off for 30-plus every game against him anymore.
Maybe it's because they have Spencer Dinwiddie there as well, though.
Yeah, and Dinwiddie's made a big jump as well. So, I mean, Brooklyn's done a really good job with their younger players. So, I mean, just they're sort of like the Clippers East. They haven't really had the success overall that the Clippers have this year, but they've put through, put together some winning streaks in the last 2 months or so. So, I don't know. I think he might be available, though, at the trade deadline if they just decide they're not going to be re-signing because they'd rather keep Caris LeVert. So.
That'll be interesting because they're in the playoffs right now, too. I don't think I would mess around with Brooklyn if I were their GM. I'd let these all these young guys just ride for the playoffs and see what they can do together.
I guess, but then you're stuck in the situation in the offseason where you have to decide whether to give D'Angelo Russell, you know, 5 years, $100 million, or whatever it's going to be.
That's true. What if Utah got someone like Dennis Smith Jr.?
I think Rozier is another guy you have to look at, too. I mean, Rozier, he really hasn't played a lot this season. When he has played well, and obviously last year in the playoffs, he was really good. But he's a guy whose contract is coming up as well, and I think he'd be a really good fit next to Mitchell because he can actually shoot the three-point shot, and he can run a pick and roll. So, and he's really young, so they can build those two guys, you know, the backcourt together.
Scary Terry. Okay, let's move on.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Raj, what's grinding your gears this week?
Oh, man, I've been waiting for this segment for probably the last 3 days. what grinds my gears is one of my favorite players on the Grizzlies, Chandler Parsons.
Wait, what? How is he one of your favorite players?
Raj likes models.
Peter.
Wow.
I said that sarcastically,
oh,
Peter.
Thank God.
Yeah, so... If he played his last minutes with the Grizzlies, I saw this post on Twitter that if gets the full amount on his contract before playing again, he would have cost the Grizzlies $500,000 per field goal he scored in uniform. $495,000 to be exact, because he's only made 190 baskets, and he got a $94 million contract.
That's living the American dream right there.
Yeah, he's really making high value of his production.
Yeah. And to make things worse, this whole saga that's kind of happened at the end of December and earlier this month with him kind of refusing to play with the G League team just kind of shows like what kind of player he is, because he refused to play with the Memphis Hustle, which is the G League affiliate for the Grizzlies. Because he wasn't guaranteed assurances that he would be playing after his two-game assignment there. And basically the Grizzlies were like, hey, you're not going to travel with the team. You either get rehab back in Memphis or you stay and get rehab in California. And he's like, you know what? Screw this. I want to play somewhere else. But who's going to take you? Like, you're an injury bug. You literally can't really stay on the court. Other than that, you're probably a bit slower, probably not as effective as you once were when you were playing with the Rockets, where you had that one crazy year. And he's pretty much pulling a Bismack Biyombo, where he had a good stretch of games or good stretch of a season in Houston, and he got two massive contracts. And there's three fan bases that hate him, basically: the Rockets, the Mavericks, and now the Grizz. So he fucking grinds my gears.
Damn. I didn't know you felt so strongly about him.
I respect the hustle, though.
Yeah.
Him getting that massive contract and then, you know, doing modeling in his off time, which is basically the entire NBA season, props to him.
It's true, though. Like, the thing is, you can hate on the guy all you want for, like, not playing. I completely understand. But I can't hate on him for making that much money because they offered it to him. Two teams offered him this money.
Of course, but, like, I think... the fact that he thinks he's above playing in the G League, like, you're coming back. I understand, like, you believe you're an NBA caliber. You're on this massive contract. You're too good for the G League. But, like, I don't even blame the Grizz for asking him to show, like, get some game time. Like, they don't want to toss you into a game and you just, like, look dumb. Like, if anything, like, play the two games. And if they don't guarantee you any playing time, then you can ask to leave. But in this situation... like, refusing to play those two games just shows that he has this massive ego, and I don't know where he gets it from. Obviously, like, we can talk about his modeling and him getting bitches, but, like...
Sorry. That's where it comes from.
Yeah. But, like, does he actually think he's, like, a top 50 player in the NBA now?
He probably thinks he's 100.
But he's getting paid like one.
Yeah, of course. But, like, you're right. He had a hot streak in the playoffs, and he wrote it to two max contracts, and it's these teams' faults for paying him. They should have... No, Dallas, I can understand, because he wasn't as injury-prone going into Dallas. But for Memphis to pay him like this was just ridiculous.
You get the reason behind it, though. They always needed a wing, and you know he played really well the season before that. So you get the like you get the thought process behind it, but at the same time, like I think right now he probably wouldn't win a 60-yard dash against Jonas Valanciunas. So
is that healthy Jonas Valanciunas or Valanciunas with a broken finger?
Yeah, Valanciunas with a broken knee would probably still beat him.
Ouch.
Greg Monroe would beat him in a foot race, I think, right now.
On his boots.
The guy just can't move anymore. I mean, like, in the games that I watched of him last season, like, he just couldn't. Like, he can hit his spot-up shots, obviously, but...
Yeah.
When you can't play any defense against anybody, like, teams are just going to target you every time. It's sort of like the same situation with Carmelo.
An immobile wing player is pretty useless in today's game.
In any game. And you know what the worst thing... Sorry, I have to finish this. Because I left it out in my previous rant. This guy had the audacity to post on his social media, on his Instagram, that picture of Akon in his locked up trouble.
Really?
Like this guy's, yeah, like he posted on Instagram a screenshot of him playing the song Locked Up by Akon. Like he's in jail or like the Grizz organization is asking something absurd of him. Like the audacity with this guy.
I'm looking for this.
Even DeMarcus Cousins went on assignment to the G League, just getting back into shape. So if he can do it, anybody can.
His latest photo is him wearing a Memphis jersey, blowing into his hands. You know, like after you miss a shot and you're like, oh man, my hands are still cold. So you blow into your hands. He's doing that with the caption, allow me to reintroduce myself.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
On that note, like, what are you supposed to do when you get blown by on defense every play? Like, do you hold your knees?
No, you just, like, you put up your hand and say, my bad. No, that's on me, guys. My fault. Tap yourself on the chest a couple times. My bad.
Carmelo did a lot of that last year in the playoffs, so you're right. That's probably the best way to go about that.
And then you blame your big for not helping on time.
The LeBron. The LeBron.
He's like, yeah, yo, Kevin Love, that's your assignment. Not really. But all right, it's LeBron. Now he just has to blame Marc Gasol for his defensive woes. Yo, Mark, why didn't you rotate on time? What are you doing?
No, you blame the young guy, Jaren Jackson. True, that's the veteran move.
True. You're right. My bad. It's my fault. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a very good one. Josh, what's grinding your gears?
Well, going back to the earlier conversation, I think Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is my pick for this week. Not just because he decides to not show up to Team Canada every single season, despite them seriously needing him and not qualifying for the previous games because he didn't show up, but also just because you see a game like yesterday and he puts up 40 and 10. He finally decides to do everything that people are always getting on him about and rebounding the basketball, getting those 10 rebounds, going to the free throw line. I think he went 18 times yesterday. But you see that once as his flash in the pan, and then the next game he's probably going to put up like 13, 2, and 1 and not get to the line at all. So it just pisses me off how in his fifth year, I think it is now, he just hasn't shown any improvement in any facet of his game. Like he should be one of the best defensive players, the best defensive wings in the NBA based on his talent and his athleticism and his quickness. And he hasn't shown any improvement there. And on offense, you see him on pick and rolls. Like, he still dribbles the ball very high. He doesn't get low to the ground. His crossover isn't great. He still takes terrible shots on offense early in the clock. It's like he doesn't really care. He just hasn't learned anything. And it just angers me.
Yeah, I feel like he's regressed. Like, I don't think he's stayed the same. His defense has definitely gotten worse, right?
Yeah, I mean, you look at a guy like Jabari Parker, who had two major knee injuries, and before that he was showing like a lot of promise, but at least he has an excuse as to why he hasn't really shown that level of improvement, because his athleticism has declined a little bit because of knee injuries. But what's Andrew Wiggins' excuse?
He's Canadian.
Yeah, we should revoke his citizenship. I think that's the next step.
He apologizes for playing D. That's the issue.
Your dog agrees.
God damn this dog, man. Oh my god.
Yeah, fuck Andrew. We... So what grinds your gears this weekend, Peter?
What grinds my gears actually came up, well, pretty last minute, to be honest. And it's similar to your weekend stuff. It's definitely in line. Do the Wolves players have no PR training? Between last week to this week, in like 4 days at most, we've heard a lot of strange words coming out of these players' mouths. Yesterday, Andrew Wiggins plays against, the Wolves play against the Thunder. And during the post-game interview, Wiggins just like blurts out that he thinks like Dennis Schroeder was like acting gay during the game.
Were you kind of surprised, Andrew, at the way that Schroeder seemed to take some kind of offense or something? Or it just seemed like he was pretty wound up.
I don't know what's wrong with him. He was just gay. He was acting crazy for no reason. I look right through him. He's not someone I look at as a problem.
Like, what? How is it? Like, you're just throwing this out there as if it's no big deal. Obviously, he backpedaled today. But it's kind of obvious. Like, you just threw it out there subtly, hoping that no one would realize what you said. How is this a thing? And why isn't there PR guys there listening to these interviews? And we're training these guys on how to talk during interviews. Like, every player should have media training for this stuff.
And then Derrick Rose has a history of saying stupid things, obviously.
Derrick Rose is insane, man. So he was asked what he thought about, you know, Thibodeau getting fired and all that kind of stuff.
No teams wasn't looking for me at all. I was basically out the league, and we got it done. And like I said, for everybody that think that I'm not going to play the same way, kill yourself, because I believe in myself.
Like, what? How do you guys think that this is okay? Obviously, Derrick Rose saying kill yourself just means screw off. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what you think. But you need to hear the literal translation of what you're saying in these situations. Get that media training, man. Minnesota organization. Just get some PR training for these guys. They all need some work, apparently. Twice in 1 week for one organization is unacceptable.
That's all. Yeah, I think at this point they should just do what OKC does and just not allow anybody to talk to their players.
Yeah. Or do a straight up, I'm only here because I have to be, comment. Just pull a Russ or Marshawn Lynch. I'm only here because I have to be. I don't want to get fined. It's so much
Which
better.
Which is worse, though?
What do you mean?
Which comment was worse?
Between the two?
Yeah.
I think Wiggins is getting more flack for it because it was a post-game interview and not, I think Rose was during a practice or after a practice.
Yeah, it was right after the news broke out that Thibodeau was fired.
Yeah. And then there's like a whole online community behind Derrick Rose saying that it's like, oh, it's just like urban slang, don't worry about it, and this is what it actually means and that kind of stuff. Wiggins is just like, I don't know, man. Stuck in the past, bro.
Yeah, I think Wiggins is probably worse, mainly because he didn't own it, and he flat out said it. Like, he said it was misrepresented in context. Like, I'm pretty sure you meant it the way you said it, whereas in Derrick Rose at least admitted to saying it, and it was wrong, and you shouldn't use language like that.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, Derrick Rose is probably better, but still terrible. And if it wasn't for Chandler Parsons, that would have grinded my gears. But...
I still love the outrage in the media, though, about these types of comments where people are like just killing Derrick Rose over it. It's like, yeah, you know, people are going to kill themselves over this comment because some people don't believe in Derrick Rose now. Like, come on, man. It's ridiculous. PC culture is nonsense.
Ooh, now that's a real hot take.
That's the truth right there. Comedy's going to die soon if this continues.
Sure, I guess so, if you really want to go in that direction.
Let's not.
Yeah, let's keep it moving. Let's go to Stats Corner, Josh.
All right, so I just have a few things for you guys this week. So the first thing is, if you remember way back when, about... I think it's 8 years ago now, Charlotte tried to tank the year where Anthony Davis was coming out in the draft, obviously, where he was the clear-cut number one pick. And since that time, if you can believe it, Charlotte has actually won more games than the Pelicans since that time frame. Hey. That just goes to show you how awful the Pelicans have been despite having Anthony Davis on their team. I just wanted to bring that up.
No, that's what having Mike on your roster does.
Yeah, clearly Jordan's brought that winning attitude.
Yeah.
And the second thing I have for you guys is in terms of shooting this year, I want to see, with three guesses for each of you guys, if you can guess the best mid-range shooting teams, the three best. And we'll go with the three best paint shooting teams as well. So points in the paint in terms of percentage. So we'll start off at the mid-range shooting first. Who are the top three mid-range shooting teams by percentage this season?
I'm going to go first. Should I give all three or just one at a time?
We'll do one at a time. You guess and Peter guess and we'll go back and forth.
The Spurs.
The Spurs are in the top 10, but they are not in the top three.
Ooh, okay.
Wow. What about the Warriors?
The Warriors are at number one at 46.9%, which is an absolutely insane percentage. They lead the league by far.
Wow, that's insanely high.
Actually, you know what? That comment is incorrect. They're not first place by far, but it is an insane percentage.
All right. Raj?
Who shoots in the mid-range or takes a lot?
Which team do you watch a lot where one player just owns the mid-range besides the Spurs? Even though DeMar doesn't own the mid-range, he just shoots a lot of them.
Ooh, shots.
He builds houses in the mid-range.
Wow, the disrespect.
Raj, you disappoint me.
Yeah, no, I'm right struggling now. Here. I'm trying to think. Like,
your hometown there's a lot team. Of teams.
Toronto Raptors.
46.6%, second in the NBA.
Think of Kawhi, man. Every time Kawhi shoots in the mid-range, it's an easy bucket.
And yeah. Serge. Serge has been ridiculous this year.
Yeah, it's because he's getting open shots for once.
No, but he's actually taking those elbow jumpers this year, and he's like, he must be 65% on those shots. He barely ever misses those.
Yeah, yeah.
How about the elbow, yeah.
How about the 76ers?
Philadelphia is in the top 10 at 40.5%, but they're not in the top three.
Damn, I figured Butler and Embiid would be shooting a lot there.
Yeah, JJ.
Yeah, ooh, JJ. Borderline all-star JJ Redick this year, eh?
Borderline all-star in the East.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious if he made it.
So who's a team that has two guards who love to create off the dribble, who shoot a lot of mid-range shots?
Sacramento?
No, Sacramento is not in the top 10.
Ooh.
Or the top three.
Two guards. Is it Portland?
Portland is number three at 43.6%, a full 3% lower than the Raptors. So, Holy, well done.
That's crazy.
Well done. Do you want to do three-point percentage or you want to do paint percentage?
Let's do paint percentage for Raj.
Oh, yeah.
Since he loves the paint.
I know Memphis isn't up there, but in spirit, they're there.
Memphis is bottom 10.
All right,
Once Chandler Parsons is gone, we're good.
What about Detroit?
Detroit's in the bottom 10. They're 51.9%. I think they're third worst in the NBA.
Oh, my God.
Despite having Drummond and Blake Griffin on the team.
Oh, God.
I'm going to say I know the Lakers score the most points in the paint. So, Lakers?
The Lakers are at 57.8%, and that is, I believe that is fourth.
Oof.
Lots of JaVale. What about Milwaukee?
Milwaukee is number one at 61.1%, mostly thanks to Giannis.
Giannis dunks.
One of these you're definitely not going to get, but the other one you should. Just think of dominant bigs.
New Orleans.
New Orleans is in the top 10, but they are not in the top three.
Oh, Houston.
What?
Houston?
No. They're in the mid.
Capella dump-offs, man. Dominant
Think bigs. Of a more of a high usage type of big.
Like a Jokic or a Cat?
Denver's in the mid-tier, and Minnesota's also in the mid-tier, too.
Oh, my God.
Which big man gets the most touches out of anybody outside of maybe Anthony Davis? I think he has a higher usage rate than Anthony Davis.
Oh, Embiid?
Correct. Philadelphia is at 58.2%. And because you're not going to get this one.
Wait. Let's do this.
All right. Dallas. Yeah, we're going to get this.
Dallas.
Dallas is in the mid-tier.
Frig. Is it one of like these random-ass East teams?
Correct.
Orlando?
Oh, Orlando.
Orlando's in the mid-tier, too.
Damn.
I was thinking that, too. I'm like, man, with all their bigs.
Oh, my God. Miami.
Phoenix?
Nope. It's in the East.
Miami? Yeah.
Miami is at 52.4%. They're in the bottom five.
Oh, wow.
What? Indiana.
Indiana is in the top 10 at 57.4, but they are not top three.
Is it Cleveland?
No. Come on. Jesus Christ.
Imagine. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
They're 29, by the way.
Good, as they should be.
How about Brooklyn?
No, Brooklyn is 24th at 53.8.
Atlanta.
No, they're 20th.
We're just going to go through all these teams. We're bad at this game.
You're almost there. Process of elimination. We got like two teams left.
There's no way it's New York.
No, New York is last.
Yeah, weird. Can't be Chicago either.
Chicago's 23rd.
Yeah. So who have we not named? Washington? Boston?
No, Boston's 9th.
No way, Washington.
Yep.
Washington. No way. Oh my God.
Thomas Bryant's dominating the NBA lately.
Holy. Wow, that's what happens when you don't have John Wall around, eh?
I think you literally went through every single East team, so congratulations, guys.
I don't think we named Toronto for that stat.
Toronto was third.
Oh, wait, then we did. Well, let's wrap it up after that, because that was awful. Jesus Christ. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Hit us up on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, all the major podcast platforms. Obviously, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Podcast. And until next time, peace.